This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Good morning. Goeiemôre. How are you guys doing? It looks like I'm being set up for success. There we go. Yes. Well, we arrived here on, when was it? Friday evening. And it is so lucky to be back in the Northwest. Inland all the way from the coast, enjoying the hot weather up here, and just having a lot of fun. But I quickly realized that we are now also amongst our peers when it comes to our language. My eerste taal is Afrikaans. How many of you are Afrikaans speaking? Oh, my, you see. Now, in the Eastern Cape, it's much more English, but I used to live for a very, very long time, for 28 years actually of my life in Bloemfontein, which is very much like Klerksdorp in many ways, especially when it comes to Afrikaans being something of a common language amongst our people. And I quickly realized that, because if you visited us back in those days in Bloemfontein, when you would come to a church meeting, you would see an Afrikaans guy come up to the stage or take the mic or whatever, and he would then say something like this. He says, "Good morning, people. Can we please open our Bibles to the book of Psalms?" And then you know, that's a dead giveaway. Or maybe he would say, "I'm going to go to the epistle of Paul." I just love an Afrikaans accent. But we do it all in English because we want to be inclusive and we want to make sure that everybody understands the gospel. That's why the Bible was even written in a common language called Greek back in the day, so that people can be reached for Jesus Christ. But it really is such a privilege and a joy for us to be here with you guys. Mark and Marie, thank you again just for the invitation. And the elders, we've spent a bit of time already with some of you guys. And it's just been such a wonderful heart connection again, just to spend time and listen to everybody's stories. And I want to tell you, City on a Hill, you better be ready for the future, because there are such big dreams amongst these leaders in terms of what God wants to do. God is really raising this place as a base. This is a base church, and we know that God is raising our bases. That's always been His plan. It really is amazing that the Bible is actually so simple in so many ways. It actually still sticks to the old truths and the old ways of God establishing base churches, raising up leaders, making disciples of people, equipping them, and then sending them out, going on to mission. And there's still so much mission that needs to happen. And so I'm so excited. I am incredibly thankful to be here with you this morning. I mean, it's so wonderful to be gathering again. I tell you, man, yo, I have missed the gathering of the saints. And I think for so many of us, we've realized, listen, we can't do without this. As much as we love, and I want to say to everybody online streaming this morning, it's a privilege to be speaking to you. But in the end, we still need to gather. You need community around you. You need flesh and blood to love you, to comfort you, to pray for you, and to keep you accountable so that we can walk together and we can serve and love Jesus together. But it is really a privilege. I want to get into the message with the time that we have this morning. And I think it was last week with the, I don't know exactly how things worked. I think it was the 5:05 or the evening, whatever. But usually there's been a message that got streamed in terms of a 10-minute encouragement or whatever. And I did it last week. And if you listened to that or you followed that, I was speaking about the life of Joshua and about how things changed when the nation of Israel went out of the desert into the promised land. So there's a great transition and a handover from Moses to Joshua. And then we see how the people leave the desert after 40 years being stuck in the desert. So you think your lockdown was long? You know, 6 months is a long time, but I tell you, 40 years, that's a seriously long time. I mean, so these people were stuck in lockdown for many, many years. And then I just quickly spoke about how things changed as they had to get ready for this next chapter in terms of now conquering the land, the promised land, going into the inheritance. How many of you are feeling that there's a new season for you? You're feeling that, you know, maybe this lockdown has been difficult and many things changed and there's a lot of uncertainty, I know, for all of us. But it's such a prime opportunity for us to be reestablished in terms of God's promises over our lives. And therefore, we got to get excited about the prospects again of being used by God and stepping into new territory spiritually, into a new inheritance. Maybe there were some things that you just forgot about. Life got busy, things got hard, things got difficult. And suddenly, after all of this, you had time to reflect on your life, reflect on your circumstances, reflect on your relationships, reflect on your opportunities, all these things. And now suddenly, there's an opportunity for you again to start reaching out and realizing maybe I got a little bit in a rut. I got stuck a little bit in terms of life and relationship and things. But now, there's a new opportunity for me. And for the people of Israel, there's a new opportunity as they go into the promised land. And a lot of things changed. It was very, very familiar for them. And it changed for the better, but it also changed in terms of what they had to put in. Because suddenly they had to go and fight wars. Suddenly they had to go and plant vineyards and do olive groves and dig cisterns and everything else. Because in the desert, God provided everything because there is no water. So God had to do miracle after miracle after miracle, day after day after day, providing manna and quail, water in the desert, all these kinds of things, looking after the people for 40 years. As they go into the promised land, the manna stops. Now they have to go and work. You see, many times we think that when God speaks and He promises great promises over our lives, it's now sitting back and watching God act. You know, that is actually a little bit of a picture of salvation. You know, it's only God who can save me. I can't add anything to being saved by the grace of God. Jesus does it all on the cross for me. I get justified before a righteous God through faith, not through obedience, not through acts of works or anything. It's everything Jesus, everything that He does for me. But check, check. Oh, there we go. God invites me. He invites me on a journey. He says, come with me. Take my hand. I want you now to go and reach for your inheritance, to go and reach for those things that I've put a whole lot of potential in you. I've given you talents and I've given you dreams and passions and opportunities. Go and get your inheritance. And that's what we're going to speak of this morning. And if you want to look at for a title of a message, it's very simple this morning. I just call it mountains. Mountains. So we're going to continue with that story, and we're going to speak about mountains. How many of you love the mountains? I love to visit the mountains. I love to go. When I was young, and I'm still young, I just want to say that. But when I was much younger and not married yet, and I was a student, didn't have a lot of responsibilities, every opportunity I got in those days living in Bloom, you know, Bloom is as flat as a pancake. But if you drive a few hundred kilometers towards Clarence or towards the Drakensberg, you find the most beautiful mountains. And I used to spend so many weekends with my friends hiking, going, discovering new places, new trails. It was just wonderful being out in the mountains. But how many of you know that the mountains, I mean, think about the mountains. What kind of words come up in your mind when you think of mountains? I'm thinking of words like exhilarating, unpredictable, dangerous. Ask my wifey. The very first time I wanted to sort of show her one of the special places in my life and that I liked, we went up to the Drakensberg, and then we got attacked. Guys wanted to rob us. We got stuck in very, very, very thick mist on the cliffs, and we couldn't move because we didn't know we were going to step off cliffs. We almost died of hypothermia. And then I asked her to marry me. Because she was so vulnerable at that moment, she would do anything. So that's how you do it, boys. Yes, I say near. No, don't go there. That is not the psalm that you want to write, eh? You know, in the mountains, I mean, you don't go to the mountains and find great agriculture. You don't find the irrigation and the big lands that are planted and prepared, because you can't do that in the mountains. There's no food in the mountains. It's unpredictable terrain, and weather changes in a moment. It's dangerous. I mean, there's no highways in the mountains. It's wild and dangerous. There are dangerous animals. When I speak about the mountains, what I want you to grasp this morning is Don't you think when I speak of these things and I use these words like unpredictable, dangerous, exhilarating, scary, doesn't it sound like life? Life is dangerous, especially in South Africa. Life is unpredictable. I mean, who thought 2020 would be 2020? Pandemics and economies that change and nothing is for certain. I mean, life is dangerous. Life is unpredictable. Life is sometimes incredibly scary. Can I get an amen? Are you with me? I find life sometimes so scary that I don't want to get up and face it. Just want to stay in bed and chill. And yet the story that we're going to look at this morning through the life of a man by the name of Caleb. I mean, we know we always speak of Caleb as that great old guy that still conquered his hill country. And absolutely. But we're going to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective this morning. What I want you to understand is that life is like climbing a mountain. You are supposed to go and get your hill country. Let's get into the scriptures. Let's read there. I mean, in the mountains, I love the mountains because with the unpredictability, with the scary parts, with the uncertainty, all of these kinds of things, you know, you find in the mountains the snow leopard, the bearded eagle, these incredibly exotic, beautiful animals that you're not going to find on the open plains like the impalas. You find in the mountains, you go over a summit and you see life and the world like you never see it before because you were made for the mountains. Why do we want to conquer the mountains? Because there's something within man to say there's a hill country, there's a mountain, and life is all about conquering this mountain. That is part of my inheritance. That is the thing that God wants me to do. He wants me to go and conquer my mountain. And sometimes the mist comes in from unpredictable places and we get stuck and we get our hypothermia and these kinds of things happen with us. But it's going to be okay because there's a hill country, there's a mountain, and there's a city that I go and need to conquer for my inheritance and for the sake of the nations. And this is the story of Caleb. So Israel goes in and they start fighting and they start claiming cities and kingdoms. And then we go into Joshua chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 6 to verse number 15. And then we're going to speak about it. I want to make 3 points this morning in the time that we have. Tonight we're going to do a little bit more of a teaching from the book of Ephesians. So if you want to come to that, 5:05 is going to be more of a looking at the scriptures in terms of how Jesus reveals himself through the book of Ephesians. But this morning we're looking at the story of Caleb in this piece of scripture. So in verse number 6, Joshua chapter 14, I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions.'" Everybody says, "my convictions." Remember that. "But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. But I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." Everybody says, "wholeheartedly." Thank you. "So on that day," verse number 9, "on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever.'" What a promise. Man, I get goosebumps. I just got, ever since that baptism happened, I mean, wow. Sure. The Holy Spirit is doing things this morning. I hope you're aware of it. I should not get distracted. I am severely ADHD. Pray for me. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to the battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that when the Anakites were there, they were the giants, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Your hill country may look like there's giants. There will always be giants. My goodness, I must stay. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Here's our word again, wholeheartedly. Hebron is used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. And then the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we spend the last few minutes this morning together around the scripture, as we unpack it together, I pray, Spirit of God, that you would reveal your heart to each one of us. I know that as we sit here, people watching online, Lord, that you have got a mountain for us to conquer. Some of us right at this moment feel a little bit unsure. We feel like the mist have just covered up everything, and I can't see even what's going to happen with me tomorrow. But yet I know that you are God. Yet I know that you are good, and yet I know that today I can put my trust again in you, knowing that you are faithful and good, and when you give us a promise of inheritance, Lord, you never, never take that away again. There's an inheritance for each one of us, and we praise your wonderful name. Amen. So I want to make 3 points. Number one is we're going to look at how Caleb inspires our journey. That's what we're going to look at. Secondly, we want to look at how Caleb reveals my Savior. And then thirdly, we're going to look at Hebron and how Hebron presents my spiritual life and inheritance. So let's look at what it means when I say Caleb inspires my journey. He's an inspirational character, isn't he? I mean, 85 years old, he wants to go and fight some giants. He wants to get into the most difficult area of the promised land. He wants to go up onto the mountain. He wants to conquer the highest city in the whole of the promised land. He says, this is my inheritance. And I've been waiting for 45 years. I mean, speak about long obedience in the same direction. I think that's something that Eugene Peterson, the writer to the of the Message translation, always said. You know, Christianity, walk with Jesus, it's long obedience, the same direction. We live in an instant world where everything happens instantly, all of the time, even our meals and everything else. You can even get some stuff nowadays that you put on your body and you can have an instant 20-year-old body again. You know, you don't even have to go out for a run or do a little bit of push-ups. You can just, you know, lie there and this thing like, and suddenly, you know, the muscles return. I want one of those things. So let's look at Caleb. Caleb, I mean, let's think about this. Caleb did everything right in terms of what God expected of him. Right? Even when he was 40 years old, he did everything right. He went in as a spy. He spied out the land. He saw the promised land. He said, listen, it's big and it looks dangerous, but God promised. He was, as we use those words, he was absolutely convinced and convicted about the word of God. He was completely obedient to everything that God said. He never lost faith. He never lost hope. And yet he still had to wait 45 years. And I get so convicted with that thing. If after a few weeks somebody gave me a prophetic word or whatever, and I think, you know, when is it happening, Lord? When is it happening? When is it happening? I'm like, oh, no, that was probably too much pizza. And I forget about the word of God, I forget about the promises of God, and I move on with my life. You know, Christianity many times, that's the way that people sometimes live their Christian lives. They think that Jesus is going to wave some other magic wand over my life, and then every promise will just come and fall into my lap. I mean, this man was obedient, this man was righteous in every act, and yet he still had to wait 45 years. I mean, he was strong, he was fighting fit, and yet the circumstances of me and my wife, we speak so often about it, about this thing that we call this broken dispensation around us caused this massive delay. It wasn't anything that he did. It was the disobedience of the other spies. It was the sin and the lack of faith of other people. And then God says, now this whole generation, am I moving around too much? I haven't been in church for such a long time, sorry. Other people messed it up. Other people were disobedient. You know, we need to understand in this life, many times there's things that we do or that we don't do, we are not even directly involved, but yet it's got consequences upon my life. I mean, take the pandemic. Nobody ate some or other bad bat in China and started spreading this virus all over the world. We were sitting in Klerksdorp and J-Bay, having our braai, doing our thing, living our lives, waiting for the promises of God to be revealed to us, coming to fruition in our lives. And the next moment, everybody says, go home and stay there. And 3 weeks become 6 months, boom, like that. And some people lose their businesses. Some people lose their income. I shared with Mark this morning, a very, very good friend of mine, 2-3 weeks ago, lost his very, very healthy mother, 62 years old. She became sick, got the virus, and literally 7-8 days later, she passed away. Out of the blue, had nothing to do with it. Didn't do anything wrong, yet living within a broken dispensation. And I really need you to understand that this, that Jesus comes to redeem us. He saves us. He justifies us. He gives us an inheritance. But until that second coming, until that day when He comes again upon this earth, there will be stuff that is broken, that is wrong, and that is unfair, and is going to have influence on my life, and it's not going to always work out the way I would like it to work out. But yet that's why Caleb is such an incredible inspiration, and because he says, listen, it's okay, just hold on, because God is even more faithful than all of these other things that happen. Why? Because he reminded himself constantly about the word of God. You read it there. He says, God promised Moses, you told me, Moses told me, Joshua, I need to remind you and all my friends and my family and my tribe that God made us a promise. There is a mountain for us to conquer. And when the time is right, we're going to conquer that mountain. I want to tell you one thing. You will not be able to stand in this world. You will not be able to walk out of this building and keep your faith and keep your focus if you do not spend time in the Word of God, because all these other words and voices will tell you something completely different. It's the Word of God. Man, I tell you one thing. I mean, during this lockdown, that was my battle every day. I promise you, waking up and telling myself, Chris, all of these things that's kept you awake and you got a little bit of insomnia and you're worried about the kids and you're worried about income and you're worried about your future and you're worried about your health and all these kinds of things. I need to start the day so that the Spirit of God can speak to me through the Word of God. Otherwise, these worries will just eat me up. It's like a monster. Roar. I want to say this. Listen to this. Convictions trumps fear, and it gives me an undivided heart. Can I say that again? Convictions. Listen to what Caleb said. He says, I was convinced, I was convicted, I knew what God said about me 45 years ago. Convictions always trumps fear, because fear is very real. Fear and anxiety is probably the biggest sickness in our world today. It leads to depression and suicide and addictions and broken marriages and relationships like never before. Because fear is real. And anxiety is real. And we do struggle with these things. And therefore, our heads need to get into the game by being convicted and convinced about what God says about us and not what the world says about us. And especially not what circumstances tell us around us. Because we're going to become hopeless. I mean, imagine this. Caleb had to wait for all of his generation to die. So year in, year out, he had to keep on reminding himself about that promise and knowing that that promise is going to come. You know, for your mountain and for my mountain, It is long-term training that is needed. If you want to go now and conquer Mount Everest, it's going to take a number of years for you in terms of preparation and training and everything, getting your mind, your body, and everything in the right place to go up there and face whatever that mountain will throw at you. You can't just decide today, I'm going to conquer that mountain. Next week, you pack your bags and there you go. But sometimes we live life like that. Sort of about, you know, airy-fairy kind of whatever. Hey? My goodness. Ask for your mountain. Caleb does this. He says, listen, Joshua, maybe everybody has forgotten. It's 45 years and maybe there's not a paper trail that we can follow that clearly about all of these different inheritances. But I want to tell you one thing. God promised me that mountain. Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. Are you still asking God to give him, to give you your mountain? Or have you given up asking? I mean, that's the principle of prayer, isn't it? That's the principle that Jesus brings into the Gospel of Luke when he tells the story about this lady who had injustice done, and she goes to the judge day after day saying, give me justice. And he ignores it. He says, uh-uh. But she keeps coming back, and finally she just wears him down. Now, God doesn't say, you know, he wants to be worn down by you. He gives you a principle where he says, keep on asking for your mountain. Keep, because it's more about you hearing what you're asking for than him hearing what you're asking for. He knows what you need, but he knows that you also need to know what you need. And I say this, do this in covenant with others. Caleb immediately surrounds him with his tribe and with his tribesmen. And as you follow the story, and we don't have time today to go through everything, then you would see that he takes his tribe with him and they go and conquer. He doesn't go on his own journey and his own thing. He takes his people with him. Your mountain include other people, your family, your friends, your community, the nations. Do it in covenant and rest will be yours. The second thing that we want to look at, how much time? How late are we? We got, what, 10 minutes? What? 10, okay. Sorry, I forgot my... The second thing, how does Caleb reveal my Savior? How many of you have heard all of these stories in the Old Testament in this way? There was this great man called Caleb. He was an incredible man when he was 85 years old. He still got his mountain and his hill country. You need to be like Caleb. Amen, let's go home. Oh my goodness, do I need to pray more, try more, try harder? If you heard that right now, you're not hearing the whole story, because that's not the way that we should preach from the Old Testament. Because more importantly, something that we need to understand from the story of Caleb is in the end that Jesus is the very perfect Caleb. Why do I say that? Because he obeyed God the Father perfectly, but he was even killed without receiving the promise. Can I say that again? Jesus did not see everything that he knew God promised him in terms of his own inheritance. Let's look at this very practically. What did Jesus receive? Jesus received a horrible death on a cross after a number of years of ministry, 3 years of ministry. The first 30 years he lived with his family and he was a carpenter. Then he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts healing people and preaching the gospel of the kingdom to everybody. And in the end, he's got 12 guys. One of them betrays him. That leads to his death. And the other 11 guys run away. There's your inheritance, Jesus. How many of you would follow a church leader like that? You know, that's sort of his story of his ministry. His ministry is, he only had 12 guys. One guy completely deserted him and sold him out, and the other guy said, oh, it's not worth our time, we're just going to leave. Have you ever thought about it like that? Jesus' physical inheritance on earth was that, in terms of his ministry. That's what he established. He didn't plant any churches. He didn't have any kind of conferences. He didn't have his own website, his own podcast, his own live streaming. He had none of that. Everybody turned their backs on Jesus and said, this is too hard. You see, but one thing we need to understand, that through dying on the cross, he conquered the greatest mountain of sin and separation from the Father. Yeah. Jesus knew what his mountain encounter would be. He needed to die on the cross. Caleb didn't need to die. Jesus had to die to get his mountain. It was more difficult for Jesus than for Caleb. He opened the door for you and me to receive what God promised, because without Jesus conquering his mountain, you will never be able to conquer your mountain. You need Jesus. That's the starting point and the middle point and the finishing point of all of our stories. That's why it was so beautiful this morning when we started singing the name of Jesus, because you need to sing the name of Jesus over your circumstances, over your life, over your past, your present, and your future. When Jesus comes into your life and when the blood of Jesus washes you, it cleanses you. Past, present, and future, everything, all of the time, completely and fully, because Jesus conquered his mountain of sin and destruction forever for you and for me. You know, in NCMI, we love this verse, Psalm 2, verse 8. What does Psalm 2, verse 8 say? Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. You know, that psalm was originally written for the kings, and it actually pointed to David, saying that I need to ask God for the nations, because out of my line will come the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So in the end, actually, it is actually pointing to Jesus. And Jesus was asking for his mountain. He was asking for the nations. And do you know what's so exciting? Is that right up to this moment, for the last 2,000 years, Jesus is still asking. And he's still receiving, he's still receiving, he's still receiving. When a person gives his life to Jesus, when somebody says, I'm turning from death to life, it means that that person is receiving eternal life, and Jesus receives his inheritance and his mountain. It was worth the price. Isn't that exciting? I am never going to get through this. So let's wrap it up with the last point. This is actually the main point. Hebron presents my spiritual life and inheritance. Oh man, I want to encourage you. I'm going to name a few things and then we're gonna say, whew, okay, Donkey Chris, just take a breather. Hebron is just an incredible place, just an incredible city. When you start reading about Hebron in the Bible, I mean, it starts opening some things in terms of how significant this city was that Caleb needed to conquer. So on top of the mountain is an incredible city called Hebron. You know, it's very interesting when you start looking at this thing. I mean, David starts his rule as king of Judah in Hebron for 7 years before moving to Jerusalem, because it represents a place of royalty. Jesus in me. You know the moment that you change from death to life, the moment that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a prince and a princess. You are royalty, because now you're a child of the Most High God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your Hebron, your mountain, is needing to understand your identity in Christ, who you really are. And I tell you, that's probably one of the biggest struggles in the Western church, for us to understand who we really are, because it's such good news. It is so overwhelming to think, I haven't lifted a finger, I haven't done anything. Even like Romans says, while we were yet sinners, while we were still turning our backs on God, Jesus died for the ungodly. He saved me by his grace, nothing out of myself. He gave me the faith to be saved. He came and he seeked me and he sought after me and he lived a life I could never have lived, and he died a death that I was supposed to be dying. I get all of that, and then he says, you are now royalty with a great inheritance, a city by the name of Hebron. Hey, this is good news. That's why we can get excited about these things. It's interesting. I mean, like I said, Hebron is the highest altitude city in the Promised Land. So if you ever get the opportunity to travel to Israel, you will see that Hebron is still, in terms of altitude, the highest. What does that mean? It means it's a place of vision. It's a place where things become clear. When I understand my identity in Christ, when I know who I am in Jesus, and when I conquer my hill country and I find my city and my belonging, suddenly things become clear. Suddenly I can see over the vast plains, over the valleys and the hills and everything else, and I can see that's the journey. There goes the road. This is the story, and I'm going to walk out my story. That's why you need to conquer your mountain. Otherwise, you will never find clarity and vision for your life. I mean, Abraham was buried there. It's amazing. When you go to the book of Genesis, before Abraham ever owned any land. I mean, God makes this incredible promise to Abraham, and we heard already about Abraham this morning. But it's amazing. God says to Abraham, there's a promised land. There's an inheritance for you. You got to go to this place called Palestine, and there are cities and peoples and so on. But I'm going to give all of this to you and to those who come after you. By the time that Sarah, his wife, dies at the age of 123, at that moment still, Abraham didn't legally own any land. So he finds himself at Hebron when his wife dies, because there were some caves up there in the mountains. The very caves that David was hiding in, hiding away from Saul. You know, sometimes the very thing that you are placed where you are called to die is the place that saves you. You see, Sarah and Abraham is buried in the caves. David hides in the caves. The thing that you are buried in, when you bury your old life, when you lay your old life down, that's where new life in Christ begins, because you need saving and blood of Jesus saves you. Isn't that amazing? So Abraham then says, okay, wait a minute. If I have to bury my wife, I need to legally own land, because a burial site presented so much more to the Middle Eastern people than we can ever imagine. It was their identity. It was where they belonged, because it meant that the whole family would be buried there. It meant that that was something of, this is where my bones are laid. I mean, it was so important to Joseph, who was king of Egypt, who was the second in command in Egypt. He said, listen, when finally 400 years, when you go back into the promised land, take my bones with you and bury it in the promised land, because that's where I need to lie. It was incredibly important to them. And therefore, Abraham realizes, oh my goodness, I don't own any land. So he goes to the Hittites. He says to them, listen, I want to buy some land. The owner of that land, I forgot his name now, he says, no, listen, I'll just give it to you. Abraham says, no, I can't just get it for free. I need to buy it from you. There needs to be a legal transaction between you and me. Why should there be a legal transaction? So that finally I can say, this is now my land. You know, that was a transaction in heaven one day between Jesus and the Father. We call that legal transaction justification. When you get saved by the blood of Jesus, there's a legal transaction between the judge, the owner of the whole earth, God the Father, and Jesus that you belong to. And Jesus says, he belongs now to me by my blood. I'm paying with my blood. He is now a son and a daughter of the Most High King. He belongs to me. It happens on the mountain. It happens on your mountain. I'm going to stop there. Leave you hungry. You see, Jesus is our Hebron. Jesus is our perfect Caleb. You see, Jesus is my ultimate inheritance. For me to make sense of my earthly inheritance in terms of my ministry, my call, my passions, whether it's for business or for raising kids or building relationships or preaching the gospel or doing great business out there or being a good teacher, whatever it is, whatever these things are that you call your passions in your life and the stuff that defines you, the only way that these things will ever make sense and bring true purpose to your life, you guys are welcome to come up. The only way that it's ever going to make sense is to understand, what is your true inheritance? What is your true hill country? It is Jesus. He is your hill country. He is your mountain. You see, and he did everything for you. And therefore, this morning, we don't say, go out and try harder to be a good Christian and be like Caleb and Jesus. And he says, you can conquer your hill country. Whatever you are facing right now, why? Because Jesus already conquered it. And that's the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. Are you excited this morning? Can I ask you to stand? Maybe I'll share a little bit more tonight about this just to wrap it up. Otherwise, we're going to jump into Ephesians. But yeah, that was a whole lot of download right there. Just as we're standing, can we maybe close our eyes? I don't know what the custom is, but is it okay, Mark? Sorry, I didn't even ask. Just close our eyes. not to be religious, just to focus a little bit. So much already happened this morning. Maybe even for those still following online, just where you are sitting right now, just forget about the food that's in the oven and the stuff that's going on. Just for a moment, just picture a mountain. I mean, even in this building with the advertising of the exciting summit that's coming, there were these incredible pictures about guys summiting some or other incredible mountain. That's your story. Maybe some of you are in a place right now where you feel I've lost direction. But this morning there's new faith in my heart again to start climbing. Maybe you were tired and almost like a story of Jonah sitting underneath a bush and saying, I can't go any further, God, just finish this thing off for me. I can't. This morning you're feeling life being breathed into your spirit and into your heart again to believe again that you can conquer your inheritance, that you can still climb your mountain, that you can get to the summit, that you can see clearly with vision and passion again what God has for you.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.